This morning, as we continue in the series for the case for Christ, we're in week two. And just to clarify, if you're following along in the study guides, this is actually week three, which we'll be preaching through this morning. So not to confuse you, week two we'll take care of next week. So we kind of reverse the order a little bit. So just so that you're aware, this is going to be week three in the study guides if you're following along in that. Okay? The movie came out this past Friday. How many of you have seen it? Very good. Excellent. I encourage you to make the time to go see it. It's an incredible story of Lee Strobel and his journey to come to faith in Christ as he was an agnostic and a very vocal one who stood out against Christianity. So just to give a little bit of background with Lee Strobel, he was an atheist who worked for the Chicago Tribune as an investigative reporter, and his wife Leslie came to faith in Christ, and his goal was to disprove her faith and to rescue her from Jesus. That was his true intent. Although he did not succeed in that. As a result, Lee set out on a two-year journey, but at the end of that two-year journey, he found that the problems that he encountered, so much evidence for the truth of Christianity, that Lee Strobel found himself committing his life to Christ. So this morning, we're going to be looking a little bit about the embracing the truth of Christ as Lee had embraced it. Lee Strobel is a pastor and best-selling author. He's written a number of books, including The Case for Christ, The Case for Faith, and The Case for Creation. Those are all of his books that he's written in regards to these things. So since the beginning, since becoming a Christian, Lee has had many opportunities to talk to others about Christ from a tremendous standpoint of being an atheist who stood and spoke against Christ. Sounds like the story of Paul, doesn't it? So since Lee has been an investigative reporter, he's had the opportunity to talk with many other people. He's interviewed politicians and celebrities, presidents. He's even interviewed Neil Armstrong. But there is one interview in particular that Lee Strobel says was the most fascinating conversation he's ever had. It was with a man by the name of Charles Templeton. That name might ring in some of your ears as somebody that you recognize. He was the most famous spiritual skeptic in Canada. I want to read you an excerpt that has been written in regards to this interview that Lee Strobel had with Charles Templeton. It starts when Strobel was doing a question and answer session at a church in Canada. An atheist reporter stood up and asked what Strobel thought of Charles Templeton's book, Farewell to God, My Reason for Rejecting the Christian Faith. Strobel said he had never heard of the book or Templeton, and the atheist got mad and stormed off. But Strobel was intrigued by the book's title, so he bought it, he read it, and was surprised to find that Templeton was once a Christian evangelist and the pulpit partner of Billy Graham. In fact, he and Graham were the best of friends in the 1940s and 1950s. Many people thought it was Templeton who would emerge as his generation's biggest evangelist because he was viewed by some as being more eloquent than Graham. He proclaimed Christ nightly to stadium crowds of up to 30,000 people. But then Templeton went to a liberal seminary and lost his faith. He even tried to talk Graham out of trusting in the Bible. But Graham stood fast and ended up becoming, as we all know, one of history's greatest evangelists. Templeton the agnostic went on to become Canada's most notorious critic of Christianity. Like Templeton, Strobel was once a journalist and a spiritual skeptic, but as we've seen in the movie, his investigation into Christianity took him to the opposite conclusion as Templeton, that the evidence of science and history supports Christianity. Still, Strobel wanted to hear Templeton out, so he tracked him down, and the 83-year-old Templeton agreed to an interview. They sat in the living room of Templeton's Toronto penthouse, and Strobel asked him why he no longer believed in God. Templeton raised the questions that bothered many people. Why would a loving God allow pain and suffering? How could God send people to hell? How can Jesus be the only way to God? But then a couple hours into the interview, there came a dramatic turn. Strobel asked Templeton what he thought of Jesus, and his tone changed 180 degrees. From critic and biting to thoughtful and reflective. Templeton began to extol Jesus. He said he was the greatest human being who has ever lived. He was a moral genius. He was intrinsically the wisest person I've ever encountered in my readings. Strobel was taken aback. He said, "It sounds like you really care about him." Templeton replied, "Well, yes. He was the most important thing in my life. I know it may sound strange, but I have to say, I adore him. Everything good I know, everything decent I know, everything pure I know, everything I've learned from Jesus, in my view, he is the most important human being who has ever existed." And that's when Templeton uttered the word Strobel never expected to hear from him. As tears flooded Templeton's eyes, he said, "And if I may put it this way, I miss him." And he broke down weeping. What in the world was going on? Here was a hardened agnostic, the author of the book called Farewell to God, and he was crying over missing Jesus. Strobel tried to get him to elaborate, but he seemed embarrassed. Finally, with a wave of his hand, he said, "Enough of that," and he changed the subject. Charles Templeton had walked away from his faith, but like the prodigal son, something was beckoning him to return home. Even though Templeton tried to shake off God, Jesus continued to shake up his soul. Strobel said it was the most haunting moment of any interview he'd ever conducted. So my question for you today is, have you ever walked away from God? Have you ever walked away from God? Perhaps you followed the Lord, but something caused you to wander away and caused you to drift. You have never been a follower of Christ, and at some point, a family member or friend had shared Christ with you, but you had walked away from the opportunity to trust in him. Or perhaps you've had some other experience where you're really close to becoming a Christian, but then just walked away. And maybe since that experience, there's still something inside of you that longs to return to Christ, or to return to that place where you could put your trust and your faith in him. Maybe there's something inside of you, something that even just occasionally gnaws at you, that just wants to know Jesus, just wants to come home spiritually. Maybe like Charles Templeton, you feel distant from God, yet long to know him. Or maybe you're feeling what is just a spiritual emptiness, a confusion, or an unsettled sense of aimless drifting. Lamar Odom, who played for the LA Lakers, in an interview with the Bleacher Report with writer Chris Palmer, asked Odom, "Where do you call home?" His response was, "My heart. Wherever my heart is, I can have peace of mind. Life can seem nomadic because I don't know if I'm embracing it or running from it. I can go anywhere, but I don't know where I want to be. I'm searching. I'm searching, but I don't know for what. I can't see what I'm looking for. I just like reach out and hope I grab something, but I don't know what it will be because I don't know what I'm searching for." Did you ever feel like that? Like something's missing. Like that piece of the puzzle that somehow didn't get in the box. Well, if that's you today, then Jesus has a personal invitation for you. In Matthew 11, Jesus says this. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Would you like that kind of rest? Rest for your soul. If that's what you desire, then Jesus' invitation is, come to me. But how do we come to him to find that rest? This morning, I'd like you to picture a tollway with me. Maybe something like the E-470 tollway going up to the Denver airport. Imagine you're at the airport and you want to go home using the tollway. If you want to use the tollway, we all know that there's going to be a price to pay in order to use it, isn't there? Well, it's like that spiritually. The way home spiritually has a price to be paid, a spiritual price that is too steep and expensive in price, a price so expensive that nobody could ever pay it out of their own abilities. But the good news is that Jesus has already paid it for us. In 1 Peter, it states, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, paid the penalty we all deserve for our sins so that we could know God and be brought back into right relationship with him. And all we have to do is receive the free gift that he is offering us. So how might people respond to having the price, the spiritual toll, paid for them? Some people might reject Christ's gift out of pride. Some people might reject Christ's gift out of pride. So let's use the tollway as an example. How do you think you would respond if you pulled up to a toll booth and somebody had already paid the toll for you? The person in front of you that went before you paid it, and you come up to the toll booth and the gentleman that's standing in there says, "This toll has already been paid for you." How do you respond? You owe nothing. You might respond with surprise, happiness, gratefulness. Like, those are the things that we would often think of, right? Whoa, man, I got a free ride out of this. This is awesome. How many of you ever had that happen to them? Yeah. Growing up in New Jersey, the entire state is tolled. And I remember riding up the Garden State Parkway with my parents because we went to a private school, and we'd often have people in front of us that would have either overpaid the toll because they didn't have the change, or somebody would have, out of the kindness of their heart, paid the toll. Yes, there are kind people in New Jersey. Okay? It is possible. But then there are others that are less positive responses as well, because some people wouldn't want it paid for them. No, I can do this myself. Right? Oftentimes when something is done, it's just like, no, I got this. Don't worry about it. I can take care of myself. I don't need any help. I am self-sufficient. There are those who would get angry because of their pride, doesn't appreciate someone else paying their way. Some people are like this spiritually. They know Christ paid their way, but their pride won't allow them to accept it because they want to do it themselves. They want something to contribute to this. They want to have hold of it. Some people are like this spiritually. They know Christ paid their way, but their pride won't let them accept it. They want to pay their own way, but they don't understand that we are spiritually bankrupt. We have nothing to offer. We have nothing to give. Trying to offer up a few good works in exchange for salvation would be like somebody offering a penny on a $1 billion debt. That's what it's like. If we are ever going to find the rest for our souls that we so desperately need, we must accept the payment has already been made for us, for our sins, and there is nothing we can add to it. There's nothing we can add to it. The second response is that some people might try to pay Jesus back for what he has done for them. Let's go back to the tollway illustration. If a car in front of you pays the way through the toll, you can respond with gratitude and thank God for it and be like, "Man, that was awesome. Thank you." But feel as though you have to do something in return, that pay it forward mindset. So go on a mission to carry out your own weight, so to speak. Somebody has done this for you, so now you have to go do this for someone else, or you have to live this perfect life in regards to what has been given you. You decide that because your toll was paid, you're now going to be the perfect driver. That means you will always use your blinker when it is necessary. That you will obey all of the speed limits. That you'll keep the proper distance between you and the car in front of you. That you'll never talk on your cell phone while driving. Do any of these things touch a nerve? You'll now perfectly obey every law. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to obey the law, and now, certainly God wants us to obey his law, but if your motive is to prove your worth, you're obeying for the wrong reasons. You're obeying for the wrong reasons. You see, God doesn't accept us because we are good. He accepts us because the perfectly good Christ paid our way on the cross. Do you guys get that? That it's not about being good. He accepts us because the perfectly good Christ paid our way on the cross. You see, we didn't do anything to earn God's favor. We can't do anything to make Him love us more than he already does, and we can't do anything to repay Him for what He has done for us. So we can never pay God back. For some, that's a hard place. And if we're going to experience the rest for our souls that Jesus wants us to have, we must simply accept His payment as sufficient, to which we don't need to add anything to. And to understand that what Christ has done is sufficient. That there is nothing that we can do to actually make God love us more. That God loves us as we are. That we are called His children. When my children mess up at home, when they disobey, it doesn't make me love them less. I still love them as my own heart. And that's how God feels about us. The third response is this. Some people accept Jesus' gift with gratitude. If someone on the tollway pays the way for you, the only right response is gratitude. Thank you. Thank you. You have been given a gift for which you cannot be more thankful for. And that's what God wants us to do. Accept Christ and His work on the cross as the all-sufficient payment for sins with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to pay it back. It's offered as a gift. We have all been given gifts, haven't we? And many times, especially even Christmas time, is what? You receive the gift. There's no reason to pay it back. We just have to receive the gift that God has given us in Christ as a sufficient payment for our sins. We just have to receive it by faith. By placing our trust in Him. Because He is a good and faithful God. We are sinners saved because Jesus paid the price. And we say, thank you. And to know the relief and the rest that comes as a result of that. That the burden is lifted, and what Jesus has promised is to walk closely with Him and learn from Him. To be in relationship with Him. So which driver are you? Are you the driver who insists on paying his own way? Well, the spiritual price tag is too high. You'll never be able to pay it in full. Are you the driver who needs to somehow pay it back? You could never pay back what Christ has done for you. It's impossible. Are you the driver who joyfully receives the gift? That is all you can do because it is a gift. It is not a loan. It is a gift. So how do we embrace this truth for ourselves? Maybe you're here this morning, and like Charles Templeton, you've wandered from your spiritual mornings. Or you feel lost and aimless, and you know, and you want to know Christ and the spiritual rest that He freely offers us. So the New Testament book of Romans gives us three simple verses that lead you and I to know Christ as our Savior. The first is this. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. If we are ever going to accept the price Jesus paid for us on the cross, we must realize that we had a debt, a sin debt. We are all sinners. Look around the people in the room. Look around the people in the world. Who do you know that is perfect? Who has never done anything wrong? And the answer to that is, there's no one that is perfect. Because sin has entered. Second, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. In other words, the penalty we have earned for our sin is in spiritual death, in separation from God, in a place called hell. And it is a real place. It is not some figment of our imagination or something that we've made up, but it is a real place. But the good news is that Jesus Christ has paid the price for us in Him, and we have eternal life. We were transformed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His eternal light. We're brought into His family. We're adopted in. That means that we get to spend eternity in the presence of God and not separated from it. Third is this, in Romans 10:13. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Like any gift, this free gift of eternal life isn't ours until we actually receive it. Until we receive it. To call on the name of the Lord is to admit that we've sinned. It's to repent and to turn from sin and to turn to Christ. It's a 180 degree change in how we live life. To gratefully trust Christ and His work on the cross to pay for our sins. That's how we receive Christ's salvation. That's how we come into fellowship and relationship with God. That's where we find rest for our souls. That's where we find that the burden is light. That is where we find our salvation in Christ. Now we're going to watch a clip from The Case for Christ and see how Strobel calls upon the name of the Lord when he came to the place of belief in his own life. As this conversation ensues, pay attention. There's a transition within him. Okay?
When you became a Christian, I freaked out. I mean, yeah, I was scared. And I felt like that I needed to save you. And so I decided to set out to prove this was all a big con. And so that's what I've been doing all this time. I just had to prove this whole thing wrong. The evidence for your faith, it's more overwhelming than I could have ever imagined. But it wasn't just the evidence, okay? It was you. You never stopped loving me. You never gave up on me. And I think because of that, God didn't either.
Those who believe in His name.
And what does that mean?
Means believe plus receive equals become.
mercy? What's the protocol for that?
There's no wrong or right way. Just you. You talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
You tell him your heart.
Mm-hmm. And we'll do that right now. Should we go to church?
Right here. Right now. This is church.
Okay.
Incredibly powerful moment, isn't it? Are you ready to come to Christ? Are you ready to know the rest that He offers your soul? Are you ready to gratefully accept the payment He has made for your sin debt through Christ? As Leslie Strobel said to Lee, you can do that right now, right here. Let me lead you in a prayer in which you can express faith in Christ and embrace His forgiveness. So if you would, bow your heads in prayer with me. And if this is the prayer of your heart, if this is the point where you're at, pray in your heart with me now. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. And right now I turn away from those old patterns. And to receive your free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Thank you for dying for my sin, so I can know and live forever with you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and begin leading my life, because from this moment on, I'm yours. Amen. If you have trusted in Christ this morning, I want to encourage you, and I exhort you, and I plead with you to come talk to me. Talk to one of the elders. Talk with the person that you came with this morning. Share that with them. And know that there's joy in the midst of this. If this is your decision, there's joy in the midst of this. This is nothing to hide or keep quiet, but this is something to share with others. So I encourage you to come talk to me or seek out one of the elders or even the person that you came with this morning. I also want to encourage you to come back next week on Easter Sunday as we'll be exploring the evidence for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I also want to encourage you to actually pick up the invitation cards that are in the foyer and to invite those that are in your circle of influence, whether it's at work or it's at school or it's in your neighborhood, to invite them to come next Sunday with you. The pancake breakfast is an awesome time to have conversations and meet people and have further conversations with them, and then also to come to the worship service and worship the Lord together on Easter Sunday. So I encourage you to do that this morning. Would you bow in prayer with me?